Carla, if you're ready. You have the hard job here, not us. Okay. All right, folks, we are back in session. Let's continue the hearing for the remaining testifiers on the main part of the Central City 2035 plan. Carla, can you read the ordinance and the resolution titles? And you'll notice there's a paragraph prior to the three titles. If you could read that as well, please.
Sure. Item 1041, adopt the Central City.
Could you actually read the paragraph prior to that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The Central City 2035 plan items continued from September 14, 2017 hearing. Only those who previously signed up and have not testified yet will be able to testify. No additional oral testimony will be taken. Written testimony may be submitted until 5 p.m. September 22nd. And more information on the project website is at www.portlandoregon.gov/BPS/CC2035.
Thanks. Now you can read the three items.
Sure.
Thank you.
1041, adopt the Central City 2035 plan, amend the comprehensive plan map, transportation system plan, Willamette Greenway plan, Willamette River Greenway inventory, scenic resources protection plan, zoning map and Title 33, repeal and replace prior Central City plans and documents. 1042, adopt the Central City 2035 plan action charts, performance targets, and urban design diagrams. 1043, adopt the Central City 2035 plan Green Loop concept report.
All right, so today we're going to try and finish hearing testimony on the main ordinance and the resolution for the Central City 2035 plan. As Carla mentioned, we're only going to hear from people who either signed up on September 7th or September 14th. There will be another opportunity for public testimony on the Central City 2035 plan on January 18th, 2018, after amendments have been introduced. So, Carla, let's call up the next people from the list from last week. As per usual, everybody has 2 minutes to testify. If you're a lobbyist, per council rules, we need to know that. Commissioner Fritz.
Well, I was just wondering, Mayor, it doesn't seem like we have a whole lot of people, and I do feel very grateful for those who sat through the entire testimony last time. I was wondering if we might give 3 minutes if necessary.
You know what? That would be a great bonus opportunity. Let's do it. For their 3 days of patience, we're giving him an extra minute.
Thinking.
So maybe we'll even be a little loose. But that seems only fair.
Oh, thank you.
And we are starting from the September 7th original list. Okay, just make sure. The first person is 62, Britt Conroy. 116, sorry. Jackie Peterson Loomis. And 131, Emma Pellet.
Very good. Welcome back. Thank you again for your patience. We truly appreciate it.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for allowing an extra day of testimony. Appreciate that. My name is Britt Conroy, and I'm a Portland resident. In this chamber, our city's priorities are set. From limitless competing demands, council members decide what projects and initiatives are funded, what challenges are addressed, what problems will be solved. At its best, good governing marshals resources from within and without a community to protect the most vulnerable and provide opportunities for those who are struggling. As this council secures money for transportation, whether from our city's coffers or through your requests for funding from your partners in Salem, you have the opportunity to invest in your stated priorities, safety, livability, climate, and reducing the related cost of housing and mobility. When looking at what Portland secured from its partners in Salem, one would think that we have a $450 million single-location fender bender crisis in this town. In fact, we have a crisis of transportation deaths, and we have a housing crisis made worse by insufficient transportation options, particularly for those living in East Portland. Expanding urban freeways has never solved traffic congestion, but investing in safer streets does save lives. 36 human beings die on Portland streets on average every single year. The Rose Corridor Highway Expansion Project will cost nearly twice what last November's municipal housing bond raised. 7 times the projected revenue of last year's gas tax, and, it must be said, will cost an amount equal to what the Portland Children's Levy will raise over 30 years based on that program's average revenue. I urge you to remove projects related to this highway expansion from the TSP and RTP, to implement value pricing to address congestion and avoid costly and unnecessary highway widening projects, to invest value pricing proceeds in providing mobility options for those most impacted by the tolls the state legislature has mandated, and most importantly, to codify transportation spending priorities that, regardless of source of funds, ensure the city gets the most mobility, equity, safety, and climate benefits for its buck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Hugh Daly, Fritz, and Salzman. My name is Jackie Peterson Loomis. I am an historian, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Portland Chinatown History Foundation, of which I am its executive director, as well as a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee of the new Chinatown Japantown Historic District Design Guidelines, and a former board member and current co-chair of the Art, History, and Culture Committee of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. I am a Portland resident as well. As I know you all are aware, the Old Town Chinatown community is a complex fabric of historic districts and properties, waterfront park and garden destinations, and numerous arts, cultural, and educational institutions. We're also home to a web of social service and low-income residences, a weekend nighttime entertainment district, a growing number of significant restorations, such as the Society Hotel and the Overland Warehouse, combined restoration and infill projects, such as the Grove Hotel, corporate offices of young businesses like Mouvelle and Airbnb, and our first Starbucks due to open this fall. This description captures the history, energy, and diversity of Old Town Chinatown and lays the ground for the robust vision outlined by the city for this downtown waterfront neighborhood in the 2035 plan. In the plan, Portland's planners and creators have not envisioned an extension of either the Pearl or downtown, but rather a culturally and visually unique historic neighborhood, which could well become the city on the Willamette's most visited tourism destination of the future. We applaud the 2035 plan for our neighborhood and the accompanying zoning code adjustments and incentives, which we believe have provided an equitable balance between protection of existing and future cultural, education, and historical resources, and support for new construction for much-needed housing and offices and for business growth of all kinds. We want to thank city planners especially for the welcome reduction in heights in the northern half of the new Chinatown-Japantown Historic District, running from Northwest Everett to Gleason between Northwest 3rd and 5th. The reduction of building heights within the northern portion of new Chinatown-Japantown from 450 feet, which it used to be, to 100 and the recommended 125 feet is long overdue. In fact, I was shocked to learn several years ago that such extreme heights had ever been approved for a National Historic District by the city. All of Portland's downtown federally recognized historic districts have height limits of 75 feet, or in the case of the southern half of New Chinatown and a part of the new historic district in the Pearl, 100 feet. The historic buildings in all of Portland's downtown districts are rarely higher than 4 stories, and in this environment, even a 100-foot building looms large, challenging the sight lines and noise levels of an otherwise sunlit, highly walkable, low-rise historic streetscape. I thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for your foresight in protecting our most valuable and most energy-efficient assets, our current buildings that are already standing. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Good afternoon. Thanks for your patience. Okay.
Thank you for hearing me today. My name is Emma Paulette, and I'm a property owner at 109 Southeast Salmon Street in the Central East Side. I love Portland. It's an incredible place, and one of my favorite parks in Portland is the Shakespeare Garden up at Washington Park, where you have an incredible view of Mount Hood. It's amazing. I urge you today to vote against the Salmon Springs View Corridor because I don't feel that it's equitable to choose a view of Mount Hood that's only 36 feet above sea level and only visible 85 days out of the year. On a day like today, you can't see the view at all. This will unfairly impact the Central East Side and will really make it challenging for us to meet our economic goals and our employment goals. On that note, I also believe it's the city's responsibility to educate property owners on who's included in this and who stands to have their property changed by this rule. So as you can see on page one, these are some maps, and these maps are all from the current City Council Amendment 2035 plan, and this is from the August 29th draft date. So on the first map, you can see my property is not included, but on the map, on the next map, you can see my property just to the left, also not included. And on the third picture, my property is still not impeding the view of Mount Hood. And on the last page, you can see there's a map on page 46 from the plan that does show my property to be in the view corridor. But the following map does not include it. So I'd like some clarification on if my property is included or not, because it's very confusing. Three of the four maps show that it's not, but one does. So is my property included or not? And so I'd ask that the City Council, if you do not vote no on the Salmon Springs View Corridor, to please clarify this and make the view corridor of Mount Hood follow the exact cuts of the view so that we can lessen the economic impact on the Central East Side.
Commissioner Fritz?
Ms. Blatt, have you had any conversations with your neighbors who are definitely in the view corridor?
I have, yeah.
And absolutely. What kind of feedback would they be giving us?
People are very concerned. We spoke over a year ago. We all came and testified. We had about maybe 15 or 20 people testify, and we all submitted paperwork. You heard from the lawyer that we hired then, who also submitted on our behalf. People really feel like this is going to be challenging for the future of the Central East Side. We won't be able to reach our density in the Martin Luther King Grand Corridor, and it's going to be challenging to meet our numbers for employment in our district in the future if this view corridor is established.
And so this would actually lower the heights in the view corridor, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. It would take my property height from 175 down to 35 feet.
Oh, wow, that's really low.
Right, especially if my property doesn't impede the view at all. So I feel like this is, especially for the properties on Salmon, it's a real burden because we have the green loop that will be going in there as well, and that'll be something that drastically changes our street. I personally am in for the green loop, but I think it isolates landowners and puts an unfair burden on just a few people.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, first of all, yes, there appears to be an obvious inconsistency in the charts, and I even see Joe back there shaking his head. So that we will most certainly clarify that.
That'd be wonderful.
And secondarily, this is an amendment I put on the table for discussion purposes because I'd been hearing a lot about it. And I know that the Planning and Sustainability Commission had very long conversations about this, and ultimately they voted, I want to say it was like 7-4, I believe, in favor of removing not creating the view corridor and continuing with the density proposals in the Central East Side. And I did say at that time I was inclined to take the recommendation of the Planning and Sustainability Commission,
right,
but I wanted to hear what people said and how strongly people felt about it. It is in that spirit that I've wanted to hear testimony on it. But there's clearly an inconsistency here, and it looks like Joe right behind you there. Do you have an answer to this, Joe, today, or is this something we can resolve potentially get back to Emma on?
Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We need to follow up to get precise, but over the process, we narrowed the view corridor.
Okay.
So we think that you had an old one and a new one, and a new one that property is not in. But other properties do have the height reductions that we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Though they weren't able to come today, they would have the same testimony. I remember at one point your family was looking at possibly having a park somewhere in the east side. Is that still a possibility?
You know, it's still something we'd really like to do. We've had a few other things that have come up, so... But I'd like to make that happen, and I'd love to work with Ms. Udaley on that, and because we'd love to get that spigot so we could water our grass. We'd love to make that happen.
I'm just also wondering, could there be a view of Mount Hood from that park?
Unfortunately not. The park is right just one block behind the Portland Storage Building, which is 12 stories tall.
All right. That question. Thank you
but
very much.
Maybe from their roof we could have a great view.
Great. Thank you both for your testimony. We appreciate it. Thank you.
The next three, we're on the 914 list now, are Brad Molson, Juliana Lukasik, and Ted Leiby. And if anybody else is here who didn't sign in, just let me know.
Is that all we have on our...
Then we have one more.
Okay, and if there's somebody else here who bothered to show up, go ahead and sign up.
My name is Brad Malson. I'm president of the Central East Side Industrial Council and owner of Beam Development. First of all, I want to commend the Bureau of Sustainability and Planning for putting together an incredible process for the 2035 plan and for the Southeast Quadrant plan. My angst is more about the process that we have gone through. The Southeast Quadrant plan, which I participated in and observed, was an incredible process that brought in stakeholders, brought in advisors, heard testimony, took place over weeks, months, years, to kind of reach a consensus as to what we could do, what makes sense in the Southeast, in the Central East Side, and beyond. And it's very painful for me to engage my constituency in the Central East Side and tell them to get involved when they put this time and effort in, reach consensus, and then are told that at the last minute a view corridor is now considering can absolutely change the whole process of planning for the Central East Side. The Central East Side, as you guys probably well know, is one of the most active districts in the city that has produced, I think, a significant level of jobs, if not the most, since the last downturn. And we are very anxious to continue that process. We are very anxious. We realize that the investment that has been made in planning and the investment that has been made in transportation in and around the Central East Side has always contemplated increased density. I'm not sure how you get density in the Central East Side or any place around without height. I mean, they just kind of work together. So, I feel there. We all have to make sacrifices for the city to move ahead. Central East Side is contemplating, I think, really significant opportunities with new businesses, with new investment, with new opportunities to build buildings, restore old buildings, preserve the industrial sanctuary. I don't need to tell you how much opportunity other people have seen in the Central East Side to become residential or more, retail. And we've resisted that. We really went through this process very carefully to protect the Central East Side and the commercial corridor. So I really want to ask you to really consider hard what the goals and the objectives are in terms of jobs, density, and creating opportunities in a very active corridor. Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe you also submitted a letter for the record, which we all received earlier this week. So thank you for that as well. Good afternoon.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all so much for having us. I've literally been here for, this is probably the eighth hour. So I was here on all 3 days. And so I've heard a lot of testimony, and it's been a really educational experience for me. And I appreciate what you guys have done and all the opinions that you have listened to. I've also, I am Juliana Lukasik, and I am here today speaking on behalf of my experience as the person on the SAC for the Southeast Quadrant Study. I am also the interim executive director of the Central East Side Industrial Council. I've been on three larger SACs in my time in the close-in city. I was on the Cooch Street Couplet many years ago. I was on the East Side Transportation Advisory Group that ultimately created the Transportation Parking Advisory Commission, and I was on the Southeast SAC. And I want to say I'm here to sort of talk about process. I've seen what goes into stakeholder advisory groups, and I have seen how well they work. In each and every one of those, we sat at the table with people who were involved, stakeholders from all sorts of areas, and it was very diverse. We had the bike community talking to the freight community, the environmentalists sitting with the developers, and we spent years, probably combined with those three SACs, I've spent probably 8 years on SACs. So I do know what I'm talking about, and I am incredibly impressed with the process. I'm impressed with the dedication from the city, the people who staff the SACs, the amount of effort it takes to wrangle a whole bunch of really diverse groups. To say that they're wrangling kitties is putting it mildly. These people sit at the table, they look at each other, and they come to it with this idea that they're never going to compromise. And at the end of the process, they compromise. And it's a really wonderful thing to see. And that happened in the Southeast Quadrant study, and it was a very, very good process. I know there have been some challenges with the West Side one, and I would hope that those would not reflect poorly on the processes for the other SACs, because these were incredibly long processes of commitment and volunteerism and compromise. So I ask you guys very strongly to support the recommendations of the Bureau of Planning, because it was through a lot of process to get there. So when we talk about things like the view corridor and the need for 100% eco roof, we really would like you to go back to the 60% eco roof and take the view corridor off the list, because they really were already well vetted, and we hope that you will honor those. So thank you very much for having me
today.
Thank you.
And if I could just ask, first of all, a statement, then a question. Statement, thank you. I know you put a tremendous amount of energy and effort into this, and I also applaud you for hanging out through all 8 hours of testimony.
Today I waited through a river out there.
Yeah, it's been an incredible educational experience for me as well. So that's I think interesting that you'd reflect that. We did hear quite a lot of testimony on the green roof proposal, 100 versus 60. Could you just flesh that out a little more? Why you would be opposed to the 100 and why you think the 60 is appropriate. Just give us a flavor of your argument there, please.
I'm concerned about, first of all, anything that's 100% versus a compromise at a lower percentage rate raises a red flag for me. I think the definition of the green roof and the 100% is very important. I'm concerned about amenity space. I believe strongly that in order for people to understand the importance and the value of a green roof, that they need to be able to see it. So I am very, very concerned that 100% eco roof might not allow the amenity space that would allow people to go up and enjoy a green roof. By the way, I am also a environmentalist and a tree hugger. I think Commissioner Frist mentioned that. And those are my roots. So I'm very, very much in favor of eco roofs. I just am concerned about the 100%. I also am very concerned about affordability. I'm concerned about affordable housing, and I'm concerned about affordable commercial space. And if we do not make it feasible for developers and people who are redeveloping their buildings to have incentives to keep the affordability in place, then we're not going to get the affordability that we need, both from a residential position and from a commercial space position. One of the biggest challenges in the East Side is how do we grow and still keep spaces open for small businesses and makers. And so that's a really big issue for me, and a real tension with the adding costs to construction and trying to convince people redeveloping and developers to have a component of affordability. So that's one of my biggest issues with that.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank
Commissioner
you.
Fritz,
that was my question, too.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Mayor, city councilors, my name is Ted Labby, and I'm the policy program director with Mike Houck's Urban Green Spaces Institute. Thanks for the opportunity to comment on the 2035 plan, and by the way, congratulations on the Sam and the City proclamation. That's great. Today I want to pick up on some written comments that I submitted on September 6th, a few things in there, and kind of add to those. The 2035 plan sets the tone and pace for innovation and change in the city core for the foreseeable future. Portland has a lot of work before it, cleaning up the Willamette, providing affordable and accessible housing, diversifying our transportation choices, sustaining a vibrant economy, maintaining good governance, and integrating nature into our built environments, and more. There's a lot to like in the 2035 plan, which takes us towards these goals. However, there are also elements that fall short and need strengthening or revision before the plan goes forward. We strongly support the Green Loop and the wider vision of the green web that Randy Gragg presented to you a few weeks ago. It isn't a choice between the green loop and the green and the Lentz ring. Lentz green ring, sorry. We need both. But the advocates suggesting we drop the green loop have a point. The city needs to take a more active involvement and commit more funding to the bike, ped, transit, and greenway connectivity in Lentz and other underserved neighborhoods beyond the central city. Among the elements of the Central City 2035 plan that we especially like are the explicit incentives for large-form trees in the new master plan standards. Thanks for that. And we strongly support Commissioner Udaly's amendment to require 100% coverage on eco-roofs on new buildings above a certain size threshold. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for that. We appreciate and support the simplified parking code with more shared use and the elimination of minimum parking requirements. But I think we can go farther on that. All new parking should be constructed in a manner so that it can be converted to other uses in the future once we determine we don't need all that parking. Aspects of the plan that fall short are measures to boost the urban forest canopy. The targets for certain tree-deficient districts, like the Central East Side Industrial District, are set too low and are not adequately aspirational in order to drive innovation and focus on the part of PBOT, property owners, developers, and others.
You're a little too close to the microphone.
Too close.
Yeah.
The flexible street design standards for the Green Loop are great, but we need these standards to apply more widely within the central city and beyond. We need to consider reallocating street right-of-way to reduce on-street parking for automobiles and narrow travel corridors to make more space for trees. We can make the now optional front building setbacks for new development required in tree-deficient neighborhoods. Undersized planting spaces can be expanded into the adjacent street, and we can lift the Title 11 tree code exemptions on commercial and industrial lands. Going farther, the city could assume responsibility for all street planning and maintenance in the central city and fund this work with street frontage fees that incentivize space for trees and discourage or minimize utility vaults and driveway curb cuts, which limit space for trees. The city needs to start thinking about urban forestry as a utility, something that we all pay into and benefit from. Trees can't continue to be an afterthought in the central city. Trees sustain a vibrant street life, lower crime, soak up stormwater, clean the air, and cool us during summer heat waves. Finally, I want to say that freeway expansion has never solved traffic congestion, and we are proud to stand with the broad coalition of community-based organizations and citizens who are asking for removal of the I-5 Rose Quarter project from the transportation plan. While there might be localized benefits to the project, we believe it would come with a very high opportunity cost and would divert much-needed city dollars from other important initiatives like housing, affordable housing, better transit, street improvements in the Outer East Side of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate all three. Thanks for coming in.
The last person I have is Damian Hall.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Mayor, City Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today, and thank you for the extra minute. I'll try to use it well. My name is Damian Hall. I'm an attorney with a local firm called Baljanic. I'm here on behalf of our client, Joe Angel. I'm here to speak about a particular piece of property and a particular scenic view corridor that impacts that property. This is a different one than the very popular Salmon Springs view corridor. This one's called CC Northeast 01. What that means is there is a proposed pedestrian bridge that is yet to be built that would cross the Sullivan's Gulch. And there is a proposed scenic view corridor from that as-yet-to-be-built bridge looking west towards downtown and the West Hills. There are a number of practical issues with that set of circumstances. So I'd like to outline a few of those and then make a specific ask. The first is the view corridor's not necessary. There is a natural view corridor created by Sullivan's Gulch. The below-grade nature of I-84 going east to west there preserves for perpetuity unless we come up with a plan to cap the freeway those views and will not be replaced by redevelopment of tall buildings. The same goes for the adjacent train tracks that run along that the bottom of that gulch. The second issue is the uncertainty related with this particular viewpoint. Because it is a viewpoint from a structure that's not yet been built, it is an estimated viewpoint that has been translated into an actual lines on a map that impact a piece of property owned by my client. Again, even if you were okay with that set of circumstances, the way that it's been translated to the map is additionally uncertain. On the first page of my testimony I've provided you, I've blown up the map. The property in question is the yellow piece of property, and as you can see, the lines that indicate the boundary of the scenic view corridor are slightly wider than the city streets. So as far as trying to understand where that boundary is located for redevelopment purposes, that line is approximately 70 feet wide if taken to scale. The difference between the ability to develop inside and outside on each side of that boundary that is uncertain is the possibility to go from 350 feet in height to a maximum of 75 feet in height. So for those reasons, we think that there are a number of practical concerns. I've listed at the end of this memo some legal concerns as well, but those are secondary. So now for the ask, I'd request that the council direct Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff to revisit this viewpoint and work with my client to establish with some certainty its location, if it is advisable to move it forward. We've provided our best effort at actually taking that map to scale and have attached that there. If council feels it's wise, we would accept direction that that map be approximated as the official boundary. And then as an alternative, simply wait until the pedestrian bridge is built, actually go stand on it, and let's figure out where the view corridor should be. My understanding is the status of that project is that it's funded, so should be happening, but that there's still an ongoing discussion about its alignment because the street grids on the north and south of Sullivan's Gulch don't exactly line up. So it shouldn't be that far in the future.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Colleagues, any questions? Very good. Thank you.
Thank
for
you
being
for your time.
Here. So, Carla, does that conclude our testimony?
That's all who I have signed in.
Very good. Could I ask a question of staff? And it's sort of just a general question about process. So much of the testimony that we have heard is broad in its nature, but we've also heard a considerable amount of testimony related to specific issues, such as what we just now heard from the representative from Baljanic. Do you work with the individual property owners to resolve those issues, or is the expectation that the council will meet with individuals with specific issues and resolve that for the purposes of amendments? Or what is your proposal in terms of how we address issues related to very specific property questions?
We're glad to meet with property owners. We may have already, depending on what the application is, because some of these may have percolated through the Planning and Sustainability Commission process as well. I'm not quite sure we've discussed this last one that you've heard. It expedites the ability of us to put up a recommendation for you all to be able to do that, so we're glad to.
It might make sense then if you could exchange business cards prior to your departure, just so you have that. And it sounds like Emma's still here. Great. It sounds like that is a broader issue. It's not just specific to your property. We need to resolve the exact borders of that proposed view corridor. But I just want to make sure that specific property issues aren't falling through the cracks because they are specific.
Okay, sure. No.
Good. Okay, good. That's all I had. Commissioner Fritz,
anything
else?
I was just wondering, with the chicken and egg question on that particular view corridor, would it be better for us to decide whether we should have it and then put to the work of deciding where it should be, or does where it is affect whether we should have it or not?
If you had decided that we weren't going to have a view corridor, then the particular issues with that view corridor would be off the table. I think there's a more nuanced story for the second one we just heard about the view down the BAM field. So we want to talk that through with the testifier and bring it back to you probably.
Yes, it seems to me that if
there's
the council's,
something to be solved,
if the majority of the council is not interested or not willing to support the Salmon Street Springs View Corridor, you don't need to go to the trouble of deciding exactly where it should be.
Correct.
Very good. Anything else? All right. Thank you. Oral testimony is now closed. Written testimony will be accepted until Friday, September 22nd at 5 p.m. This matter is continued in deliberation on this item will occur during the October 18th meeting at 2 p.m. time certain, Portland City Hall Chambers. No public testimony will be taken on that day. Now, while we have staff up here, colleagues, are there any amendment concepts based on public testimony that you'd like to provide today or any questions you have of staff while they're up here? Commissioner Fritz?
Some of the broad categories, which I believe the planning staff is aware of, the map of the West Quadrant Advisory Committee's properties in relation to the participants on the body, so that the whole council reviews potential conflicts as well as revisits the heights in those areas altogether. The greenway setbacks, we're currently having some differences between the Audubon Society and parks, and so obviously that's going to need to have some broader discussion. The big question with the Rose Quarter and the freeway widening, which a lot of people were concerned about, one of my particular questions is how much city money is in that project versus state and federal money. The view of the Vista Bridge from Jefferson Street, I've had some specific testimony on that. And then further discussion, as we had a little off today, about the green roofs requirement as to the pros and cons of 60%, 100%, or something in between. Thank you.
I guess I'll add a couple. The Zidell property, the issue with the setback. You didn't just include that, right? Vista Bridge is another one I'm interested in. There was a question about the Roseland Theater height restriction because it is outside of the historic district. Why is a similar height restriction being placed on that, considering its proximity to public transportation and the surrounding area? That's all. I don't know. In testimony last week, we heard an idea for parking forests, which I realize that there may be some visibility and safety issues involved with turning a parking lot into a forest. But I do think it's a legitimate question to raise why, when surface parking lots are such an inefficient, wasteful way to use precious space in our central city, are the owners not there often are no trees on the blocks. So I'd kind of like to know why that is and if we can encourage them to plant some.
So I'm not prepared to articulate any amendments I might have today, but I probably will have some based on testimony I've heard and many of the issues Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Udaly just mentioned are issues I'm also interested in as well. But I thought while you're here, if you could just once again maybe just give us the process for getting home on this whole thing again.
Sure.
Yeah, just repeat it for me one more time.
Sure.
Okay.
Excuse me. So on September 28th, you will be hearing the post office ordinance again, and there'll be some public testimony on that. The record closes at 5 p.m. that day. You will also be hearing the historic guidelines one more time, and you'll vote on that day. Then we have October 18th at 2 p.m., as the mayor mentioned. We have that set aside for discussion of amendments on a set number of topics that we've emailed your staff about, in particular height, scenic views, FAR, historic, green buildings, that sort of thing. And then on November 2nd at 2 p.m., we have time set aside to talk about amendments related to the scenic outside of the central city, bonuses and transfers, anything to do with the river, and that sort of thing. Then we have another session set aside on December 6th at 2 p.m. for amendments related to the parking code and then whatever else we have been able to cover at the other sessions. We are hoping to conclude discussion of amendments at those three sessions, and we have a January 18th, 2 p.m. hearing scheduled for amendments on the Central City. So any amendments that you develop in these fall sessions. And then finally, the final vote on the Central City Plan can't be taken until the comprehensive plan is effective. And at this point, we are looking at a March 1st date for the comprehensive plan. That date may change, but we're not sure about that yet. But the vote would follow the comprehensive plan date.
Have we heard from the Department of Land Conservation and Development whether they're approving our comprehensive plan?
Or? You know, what we have heard is that they understand the urgency and are actually organizing to try to expedite their review of the process and get the resources on their end to keep it moving. So they're being not just cooperative but proactive in trying to meet these deadlines.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. And like Commissioner Saltzman, I will more than likely be introducing amendments, but I want to have the opportunity to discuss it with staff and go through some of those issues in more detail before I offer them up. So thank you. Some legalese here. As we mentioned at the September 14th hearing, Council will discuss other aspects of the Central City 2035 plan on September 28th as follows. 3 p.m. time certain on the post office. Will accept public testimony on that day related to that item. The record will close at 5 p.m. At 4 p.m. time certain on September 28th, we'll be discussing the new Chinatown Japan Town design guidelines. Public testimony and the written record are closed on those items. There being no further business, colleagues, we are adjourned.
Congratulations.
Getting there. I'm a huge proponent of an asphalt parking lot tax. So they don't need to twist my arm very hard. That is a source of revenue used in other communities. It could be used for very specific purposes. You know, for me, it sounds like it should probably be related to something relevant to the activities on those lots, whether it's the absence of housing or whether it's livability issues or something. But interestingly,
eyebrow ring over.